Well, I expect, just looking out here, there's lots of people I don't know. And I expect some of you have been to lots of baptism services before. I expect some of you will have seen a handful of baptisms before. And maybe for some of you, it's the first baptism you've ever seen. Whichever one of those it is, I think it's still worth asking the one big question: what is going on here? What is a baptism? Because it is far more than a mere religious ceremony, a ritual to carry out. And I want to answer that question by looking at three sentences Jesus spoke. They're at the end of Matthew chapter 11, so if you have a Bible in front of you, you might want to turn to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read three verses there where Jesus is speaking to a crowd. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Jesus doesn't mention the word baptism there at all. But I want to draw up three things he does say there, and then I want to show you how each of them links to baptism. Now, here's the first thing Jesus is teaching in these sentences. He's teaching us that we have souls. Jesus says, "You will find rest for your souls." What does it mean that we have souls? Well, it means that we are more than our bodies. It means that as the time comes for us to die, and unless Jesus comes first, that is what will happen to us. One day we will die. It means when we die and our bodies go into the grave, our souls are going to live on. Who we really are will continue beyond the grave. He's saying we are eternal creatures. In 1932 in Sydney, there's a single word started appearing in chalk on the pavements, on the walls, all around Sydney. One word, and it was this word: eternity. It was after 24 years that they finally discovered who was doing it. It was a man called Arthur Stace. There was nothing special about this man. He didn't have great credentials, great academic achievements or anything else. But over the course of his life, it's estimated he wrote this word eternity on chalk about 500,000 times in chalk on the streets of Sydney. Why? Because he got hold of this one great truth: we are eternal creatures. Our bodies die, but our souls will live forever. He wrote it because it's something we need to be reminded of. Because what do every day? We get up, we think, what am I going to have for breakfast today? Am I going to get to work in time? Have I finished writing my essay? I'm going to go and meet that friend for a coffee in a cafe. I'm going to go home. We think about the day-to-day details of our lives, and we so rarely think about eternity. So we need that word, that same word, chalk on the pavements of our streets. We need it framed on our front door. So every time we go out the front door, we remember, I am an eternal creature. So when we stop and think about that, I'd say we know it's true. We know it's all true. We know we're not just animals that live and die and that's it. Think about the children in your life. I'm sure you have children in your life, whether it's your own children or whether it's grandchildren, cousins, nieces, nephews. Think for a moment about the children in your life. Did anyone ever have to come to you and sit you down and say, you know this little baby that's just been born? I need to tell you that this baby is special, okay? There's something special about this child. This is not just a mere animal here. No one has to tell us that about children, do they? We instinctively know it. A few weeks ago, there was a I would use the word murder, but I think better, more accurate term might be, at least at the moment, there was a death in suspicious circumstances on a house on the street we live on. Those of you who are from Nelson, you'll have heard about it. It's a big thing in a small community. And we met plenty of people, we talked to plenty of people who didn't know the lady who had died. They didn't know her, and yet no one said, well, what's the big deal? We've got another 7.7 billion people on this planet. What's the problem? There was sadness and shock, even from people who had never met this lady. Because we know humans are precious in a way that the cabbage on your allotment is not present. If it gets eaten by slugs, you might be a bit disappointed, but life goes on. Yeah, even just walking up to the church here this morning, we saw a dead bird on the side of the road. And our younger son pointed it out and said, look, a dead bird. But there were no tears. We just carried on walking. Humans have souls. That's what sets us apart. Jesus explains our instincts. He explains to us why we instinctively know that humans are special in a way animals are not. He says we are eternal creatures. And we're made by that way by God. We're made to have a conscience. We're made with an innate sense of right and wrong. There are lots of things that you know are right and wrong, even though no one's ever told you. You just know. Why? Because God made you that way. We're made with a longing for justice. We're made with an ability to love. We're made with all sorts of things that animals don't have. And the reason is because we have souls. We are eternal creatures. How does this relate to baptism? Well, being baptized, Mary is declaring that she recognizes she has a soul. She's declaring more than that. We're not going to stop here. But the first thing, the minimum thing she's declaring is, I am an eternal creature made by God. Here's the second thing Jesus is teaching in these words. He says that we have restless souls. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is saying there's something that people need to do in order to find rest for their souls. It doesn't just happen automatically. It's not the default position that lots of people's souls have rest. Actually, he's saying the default position is we are restless, that we're searching for real peace, and we don't just grow up having it automatically. He talks in these verses about people who labour and are heavy laden. It's people who feel weighed down by heavy burdens, heavy weights. And he says those burdens are the things that make our souls agitated and distressed and restless and not at ease with ourselves. He says every soul is like that by default. But Jesus, when he was speaking these words, he wasn't just saying it behind closed doors to one or two disciples. He was speaking to a whole crowd of people. So there would have been all sorts of people there. There would have been rich people and poor people, happy people, sad people, engaged people looking forward to the big day, sad, bereaved people who just lost their loved ones, people in exciting new jobs, people in dead-end ones who are bored to tears, people who've got a clear plan for the future, people who have no idea what's going to happen next, all sorts of lives. And he says with all of them, they have burdens that their souls cannot carry themselves. I'm confident those same burdens will be present here today, in another crowd of people. I'm going to give you three types of burdens I think Jesus is thinking about here. Firstly, we have burdens that other people place on us. In Jesus' day, that was the Pharisees. The Pharisees demanded obedience to all the laws they created, and it was just unbearable. For example, they said you had to tie all your herbs and spices. So imagine you're going to go and cook a curry, and I don't mean by cook a curry, open a jar. I mean actually cook a curry. Imagine you've got all your herbs and spices lined up on the counter, but before you can start, you have to weigh out 1/10 of each of them and give it away. The Pharisees said you had to wear boxes on your arms and on your forehead containing Bible verses. Now, imagine those sorts of rules in every area of your life. It was just unbearable. And the feeling of guilt when you didn't manage to do all the things they told you you had to do, it just weighed people down. We have burdens other people place on us. Whether it's the expectation of parents, people in family, to make something of ourselves, to follow a particular career path. Whether it's the expectation of bosses at work to sell our souls to our employers and give every waking hour we have. Whether it's the expectation of other friends, and we feel like they think we should always be a certain way. We should always have something funny to say. We should always be the crazy ones. Whatever it is, the expectations of our friends sometimes weighs us down. The expectation of just being on social media. Feeling like you've always got to portray yourself as someone who's got it all together. Getting those perfect shots to load up onto Instagram. And actually on the inside, it feels like everything's just falling apart. But you've got to keep on meeting those expectations. We've got burdens other people place on us. But you know, actually sometimes we don't even need other people to do that. Sometimes we're perfectly capable of doing it ourselves. We persuade ourselves, as long as I can do this, as long as I can achieve that goal, contentment is within my grasp. It's for me to do. If I get that new job, if I get that relationship I'm dreaming of, if my health improves, if I sort these things out. And so we strive and we work for those things, and what happens is either we fail and then we just beat ourselves up even more for not getting what we wanted, or we succeed and our souls are still restless. And all we've done is put a burden on ourselves and we're still not at rest. Now we find that surprising when we live that way and it doesn't work. When we try and deal with those burdens ourselves and it doesn't succeed. Jesus doesn't find it surprising at all. Jesus would say to you, of course that relationship won't give your soul rest. Of course it won't. Of course that career you've always dreamed of isn't going to make you satisfied in your soul. How could that ever happen? It doesn't surprise Jesus. So we've got burdens other people place on us. We've got burdens we didn't choose ourselves as well. Again, I know there are lots of folk here I don't know this morning, but what I do know is this. There are many burdens here, and many of them will be carried silently. It's the weight of loneliness, heartbreak, the grief of missing someone you love and you've lost them. Whether it's the pain of a difficult relationship, or the struggle of illness, or even just that fear, that ongoing nagging fear of death. That because we're mortal, everything I do one day in this world will end one day. It's the fear, the pain of injustice. Someone's done something wrong to you, and it just hurts. These are the burdens that carry us down, that we carry day to day in life. And they make us weary. Again, the Bible explains that. It tells us we live in a broken, fallen world. A world that is suffering the consequences of rebellion against God. Do you know, it may surprise us when life is not what we expected. When we grow up and things happen, we think, that wasn't how I planned it. That wasn't what I thought. It wasn't what the Disney films told me. It surprises us. It doesn't surprise Jesus because he knows us. And he knows this world. And the third type of burdens we have is burdens we've built up ourselves. And in some ways, this can be the hardest part to hear, is that we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. So if the problem was just other people, the solution would be easy. Isolation. Cut myself off from all the other people who cause these burdens in my life. Go and live in a cave and it'll all be fine. But you know if you went and lived in a cave, that wouldn't deal with your burdens. Jesus says, we're part of the problem. It's my selfishness, my greed, my lust, my rebellion against God, my breaking his rules. It's the burden of our own personal guilt before God. It's one of the worst things about guilt. Guilt can be so paralysing, can't it? It can crush us. And I think one of the reasons for that is because we know we've got no one else to blame except ourselves. I did it. It was my wrongdoing that caused my guilt. You know, Jesus says it's right for us to feel guilty. Maybe you feel guilt this morning. Maybe you can think of things even now, like, I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did, and it was wrong. Jesus sees you as guilty too. But there's a reason we're talking about that. Jesus doesn't say those sorts of things just to heap the guilt on even more, to make you feel even more miserable about yourself. He wants us to recognise our guilt so he can deal with it, so he can take the burden off us. How does this relate to baptism? Well, as Mary's being baptised, one of the things she's saying is, I have burdens. Burdens of guilt. Burdens of wrongdoing that I cannot deal with myself. I cannot sort those things out. That's why the picture of baptism involves water. She's saying, I'm guilty. I'm dirty. I need to be washed. I need to be made clean. Third and final truth Jesus is teaching us in these sentences is this. We have souls that can find rest in Jesus. How are our burdens removed? Here's what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now this is different to the solution every other religion offers. Because every other religion will tell you more work is the solution. They tell you, what they're really telling you is add more burdens onto your existing ones. Whether it's Islam, go and pray 5 times a day to Mecca. Jehovah's Witnesses, knock on enough doors, stand in Cardiff on Queen Street, holding up these leaflets, and put the hours in and you'll get the rewards. Work harder. Strive to improve yourself. Do the right rituals. They all tell you the same thing. And Jesus says, no, that doesn't work. All it does is it heaps more burdens on your shoulders. Now, here is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Here is something that Jesus Christ offers that no one else can. He invites us to bring all our burdens to him. And he says, I will take them all. I will take the strain, not you. That's why he came. Jesus is God himself coming into this world, taking on human flesh, becoming a real man. And as he goes to the cross to die, he swaps places with us. He takes the place of a guilty person. He takes Mary's place with her guilt. He takes my place with my guilt. He takes our punishment and he gives us the innocence of his perfect life. Instead, C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia Chronicles, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and so on, he was an academic, a very bright man. There's a whole group of academics discussing what is unique about Christianity. What does Christianity offer that all the other religions don't? They're talking about all sorts of different things. Well, maybe it's resurrection. This is the only one that where someone rises from the dead after he's died. They thought, no, that's not true. Other religions offer that as well. So what is it? They go through various things. And they were all scratching their heads. And at that point, C.S. Lewis entered the room and they turned to him and asked him this question. And he just said, oh, that's easy. It's grace. Grace is the one thing that sets apart Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, you don't have to do all these things to be saved. I've done it for you. Yes, it's undeserved. Undeserved forgiveness. It's unearned. That's what sets Jesus Christ apart. It almost sounds too simple, doesn't it? Surely we have to do something. What does Jesus tell us to do in these verses? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke was what a farmer would put onto 2 oxen, so as they're carrying heavy loads, the weight is spread easily across both of them. Jesus says, my yoke is easy My burden is light. Take my yoke, yes, but it's easy and it's light. Because what that actually involves is simply this: entrusting ourselves to him, placing ourselves under his care, trusting that he will do for me what he has promised he will do, taking the burden of my guilt and giving my soul rest and peace. So when we do that, we find relief from every other type of burden. It doesn't remove them entirely. The stresses of life continue. The heartache ache where we continue to want to be healed, the ache of loneliness, the stress of exams, all those things stay with you. I understand that. But what it does mean is we're going through life knowing the God who made us, the God who holds our hand and never lets us go. And so those things become bearable. Those burdens become carryable, because in a sense we're not carrying them at all. The Saviour who's carrying them for us. Same question again, what's that got to do with baptism? Well, baptism is a symbolic act of trust in Jesus Christ. Mary's declaring, she's done it through her words. In a few moments she's going to declare through her actions, I am placing myself into the care of Jesus Christ. He is taking away my burden of guilt. And that's why she'll come back out of the water as well. Because as she comes back out, what she's declaring with her actions is, I believe myself to be clean. Not because I've scrubbed myself clean, not because I've done the right rituals, but because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, last couple of minutes, Mary, I just want to talk to you. It's just me and you. Just imagine for a moment, all these other people aren't here. It's just us, okay? But everyone else can listen in. All right. We said that in baptism, you're trusting Jesus to deal with your burdens. What you have here in baptism is a pattern for the whole of your life. We don't know what the future holds, do we? We don't know what your life is going to entail. We don't know what things are going to hit you tomorrow. We don't know how many decades you have in life. We hope and pray you have many, but we just don't know what's going to happen, do we? But there are some things I think I can say. For as long as you live, you're going to keep on uncovering more burdens of guilt. Because although Jesus has saved you and washed you clean, you're going to keep on getting it wrong, just like I do, just like every Christian does. You're going to keep on breaking God's rules. You're going to keep on discovering new burdens of guilt. You're going to find that sometimes you end up placing burdens on yourself again sometimes. At times when you beat yourself up, wishing you could be a better Christian. You're going to feel the pressure to conform to what other people think you should be. Whether that's friends, family, colleagues in work when you get a job, teachers. And there's going to be all sorts of stresses of life. I don't know what those stresses are going to be, but there are stresses that are so common in life. Whether it's the stress of exams. Maybe there'll come a time when you experience failure, and you fail really publicly, and it's just so embarrassing and shameful. You may get a job, and it just wasn't the job you hoped for. You may become ill. Maybe that's what the Lord has planned for you. Maybe there'll be a period where, for just year after year, you're plagued with illness. There may be times in your life when you feel desperately lonely. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but actually that is what Christian life involves. The temptation when those things come is going to be to look to yourself to sort them out. To look to your own resilience, your own determination, your own intelligence, your own hard work. You think, well, if I put in the hours, if I do the right things, surely it'll all get sorted out. If I do the right things, I can find the solution myself. These words of Jesus, Mary, are the ones you need to keep coming back to as you walk through the whole of your life in this world. Where Jesus says, come to me, and you'll find rest for your souls. That is the Christian life. It's continuing to bring those burdens to Jesus Christ. you're never going to reach a moment where you don't need to live that way anymore. The way you enter the Christian life is the way you continue in it. And the way you enter it is the same for everyone. So Jesus issues this same invitation again this morning. He says, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. He says, why are you continuing to live restlessly with these burdens that are heaping up? Jesus says there is one solution. Come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. Well, we're going to sing our next hymn.